2 Timothy chapter 4.
Start with verse 1, if you will. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Boy, we could just stop right there. We're there. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I want to help you today. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about how to have the courage to keep on going. You ever felt like just quitting? Boy, I have. I've thrown the towel in a few times. Amen. So today I want to encourage you a little bit. This ain't a beat-up sermon. This is a lift-up sermon. So I want to help you, okay? Recently and many times, even in some of our own families, we've heard of people ending their life, committing suicide. Other times we've heard people that we thought had it all under control turn to drugs, alcohol, destroy their family, whatever the case might have been. And sometimes we even see Christians that fall off by the wayside and they'll quit going to church and they'll say, what's the use? Nobody cares. That's usually the pastor every Monday. And we'll see people fall by the wayside and they seem unhelpable. You can't help them. They've become discouraged. They've quit, whatever the reason might be. And usually it's wrong reason or misunderstood reason. But they just quit. And they give up. And they turn to something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They turn to something else other than the Word of God. And they separate themselves from everybody and everything that would help them and encourage them. They separate themselves from those of us who would do that. And you've probably been tempted to do that yourself. If you've been saved over a couple of years, I know you have. Very few people go through salvation and not attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil and just feel like giving up. It is a battle. It's the spirit against the flesh. And the world's not our enemies. Usually we're our enemy. Our flesh is the enemy. And the Apostle Paul, he's talking to a young preacher here, Timothy, and he said, Timothy, don't you give up. You keep on preaching. You keep on going. But everybody's tempted to give up. The Apostle Paul's a good example of not giving up. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost telling him what to write down. Now, don't misunderstand that. He's given examples in his own life. How he found a lot of places he could have gotten off. He could have just quit. He could have ended his life. He could have let somebody else end it for him. But he kept on going. He had courage despite of everything that happened to him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 real quick. You got to listen fast today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you what this man went through. Now we get our little pity parties. Nobody's paying us any attention. They're not recognizing us. They're not petting, priming, or pumping us, you know. But when you get that, you'll remember, number one, what the Lord went through. But I also want you to know there's a lot of other people who went through a lot worse than you're going through.
Amen.
And they didn't quit. And they didn't end their life. And they didn't give up. I I want you to look at it in 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start with verse 22. You ought to read the whole chapter, but verse 22, he's talking about these other people who reproached him and been reproached. And he said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, that's whipping. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the brethren, in wilderness and weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, that means he was awake all night, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, that means he didn't have anything to eat often. In cold and nakedness, didn't even have something to wear. Beside those things that are without, those which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, besides the things of the world and the people of the world and tragedies and all this that attacked me, I've still got to worry about other people. Maybe as a father or mother, sometimes that was the only reason you kept going. Your children. Your grandchildren. And boy, you think, what would they do without me? And that's not being braggadocious or bigoted. That's just me. What would your children do without you? What would your grandchildren? What would your husband, your wife do without you? Those are things you think about when you want to quit. And Paul said, on top of all that, I'm pastor of all these churches I started. What are those people going to do without me? Got to keep going, Paul. He had an awareness that God was with him. He was saying, through all of this, God took care of me. And through all of this, God has preserved me. And through all of this, God's kept me going. He didn't look to the flesh. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't have that old Baptist poochy lip and poke out his lip and say, don't nobody love me, don't nobody care, I think I'll just eat dirt and die. No, sir, he kept on going. He said, because God was with me. In Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, God's in me. And because God's in me, I don't have to give up. I don't have to quit. He gives me the strength to keep on going when I don't want to go. You think all Christians jump up on Sunday morning and say, "Whoa, glory to God, time to go to Sunday school. Woo, man, I get to go to church today." No, some of them's been through hell on earth. They have to drag the old flesh into church in spite of the circumstances. You think all believers and preachers jump up every morning and say, "Woo, I'm going to read my Bible today." No, some of them wake up and say, "Man, I don't even feel like reading my Bible today." It's the awareness that God's with me and God's in me. I can keep going.
Amen.
I don't always want to, but He keeps me going. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the love of Christ in me. It's the hope of glory in me. Now, I didn't have it before I knew Him. I had no hope. And I run with people that had no hope. I preached a funeral in right up here one time. Right up here I preached a funeral. And a young man lived. He wasted his life and he died early. And I had to preach that funeral. And I knew that young man was not a Christian. And I walked in there not knowing what to say to comfort a bunch of people. I wasn't preaching about him. I was trying to comfort them. And I didn't hardly mention him. I was trying to comfort these people. And they had some jackleg. Do y'all know what a jackleg is? If you're from Michigan, California, you wouldn't know what that was. But some jackleg got up there and sang a song about death and no hope and no help. There's no hope. It kept saying there's no hope. And it ended that way. It's an old rock song. Don't play that rock junk at your funeral. Get some Christian hymns.
Matter of fact, I refuse to do funerals that do those now. And I had to get up and comfort people after that stinking song. And I got up and the Lord just told me what to say. I said, that song's absolutely right. I said, people, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world or the world to come. You have no hope, and Jesus Christ is my only hope. And I proceeded to tell him how he found me and he saved me and he put hope in me. And the Apostle Paul said, I've been through shipwrecks and I've been through storms and the heathens tried to kill me and the Jews have tried to kill me and they've stoned me and they left me for dead and they've whipped me with a cat of nine tails, saved the 39 stripes, saved one. The only reason they didn't whip him with that other or more, he was a Roman citizen. And they almost killed me, but God took care of me. He preserved me.
Amen.
Yeah. With Christ, you can endure anything.
That's right. Yeah.
Because that divine presence, that presence of the Creator of the universe lives in you. Colossians 1:16 says, by Him were all things created, and by Him all things consist. He holds it together. If God took His hand off you today, if He took His hand off this world, it'd fly all to pieces. If you had seventh grade science, you know that. You know about neutrons and nucleuses and atoms and all those things, how they're a little universe in themselves and they're twirling all around each other. They don't even know what makes gravity. And if it wasn't for God holding it all together, we'd just fly off into space. We'd fly all to pieces. And it's the same way with our physical bodies as it is our spiritual body. If He's not holding you together, you're going to go all to pieces. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. You're going, hey, you might not like us Christians, but when it happens, you'll want us. Because we're going to bring Him in the room with us. I've been in people's houses where somebody passed away that wasn't saved, and people in the house wasn't saved. As soon as you walk in the room, everybody gets quiet. And old Jason Coley, your brother, one of the wisest men I ever met, I was telling him about that one day. He said, Brother Ron, they didn't get quiet because of you. He said, they got quiet because they felt the presence of the one that goes with you when you walked in the room. And we forget that as Christians. We forget that. It gets old to us. We're saved. We know how this feels. We know how this is done. We've been doing it for 40 years. We forget that the presence and the power of a holy God is in us and on us and everywhere we go. People feel that presence. They ought to see that presence in our lifestyle, but they're going to feel it whether you say anything or not. You remember before you got saved, you get around Christians, kind of give you the heebie-jeebies a little bit, you know. I didn't go to church until after I got married and went with my wife. And after that first service, I said, I ain't going back down there no more. Those people's crazy. I said, that preacher's crazy, that old fat preacher. Say, he's crazy. I'm not going back down there. And went to probably a year later, went back, felt the same way. Because I didn't know it. It wasn't their presence I felt. It was the presence of a holy God. And He was on those people and in those people. And I walked in a room. That's why we call this the house of God. When we show up, He shows up.
Amen.
And if He doesn't, I'd find me another church. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. Paul said, I've been through it. Timothy, don't you quit. You ain't got no right to quit. He said, use me as an example. Don't you quit. And listen, what we need to do is quit looking at the hypocrites and start looking at the Pauls.
Amen.
Hypocrite ain't hard to spot. Fellow told me, he said, well, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I said, why don't you just come make another one?
That's
amen. And we're all hypocrites sometimes, but not in the spiritual realm. I hate Walmart, but I go anyway. I preach against it. I preach against Walmart of all places. But let me tell you something. I finished telling him this way. I said, I'd rather go to heaven going to church with hypocrites than go to hell with the hypocrites.
Amen.
And by the way, everybody you think is a hypocrite, it's not. Some of them just poor Christians stumbling through trying to get it right. That ain't even in there, brother. That ain't in there. You know what he said? He said, there's a
Turn to Philippians 1:12. I want to read it to you. I might misquote it. Philippians 1:12. Philippians 1:12, he says, "But I would ye should understand." Now he said, "I want you to listen to this. I want you to understand it, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." He was telling Timothy, "I appreciate that everything that happens in my life happens for the glory of God and the furtherance of people being saved because of what happens to me." And some of you will say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." You are. You preach every day. Everywhere you go, your life experiences, even if you don't open your mouth, your life experiences show there's a God in heaven and you're a part of His family. And you might as well go ahead and open your mouth because you're labeled. They already know you are. And he said, "I'm glad for those shipwrecks, and I'm glad for the beatings, and I'm glad to being thrown in the dungeon, and I'm glad for all the people forsaking me, because when all that happened, God got real close and He used every bit of it for His glory and to help other people." Our modern day Christianity is selfish and self-centered. It's all about the one person, themselves. All the music's about themselves. You know, them 7-11 songs. They sing 7 words 11 times. And they put them on the screen like you're stupid. You can't remember it after the first time, so they put it on there 7 times. That Jesus is my boyfriend. You can wave your phone, you know, just... Jesus is my boyfriend. Ain't that sweet? This is wonderful. This is blessing me. Well, what about everybody else?
Yeah.
And then when you leave church, that doesn't go with you. It's the trial and the tribulation and the heartache and the heartbreak and the Spirit of God bringing you through those things that goes with you through your life that people can see if you're really a Christian. He appreciated the Lord using His life. It ain't always good for us. It don't feel good, but it's good for us. And it produces fruit. 2 Timothy 4:8, if you'll go back over there. Now, I know, and I'm trying to cut this short because I know some of you think more about chicken than you do what I'm saying. 2 Timothy 4:8, if you'll look at it with me. He said, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Now you don't... Let me park right here for just a minute. Okay, can I preach on this a minute? Well, I was going to anyway. You don't have any righteousness. Isaiah said all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Well, wait a minute. I belong to the hay jazz. Whoop-de-doo. I'm glad you do that. I hope you help somebody, but that's not righteousness.
That's right.
But wait a minute, I give to the Lions Club. Thank God for the Lions Club. First pair of glasses I ever had, my first eye checkup, my first doctor's appointment in 4th grade, the Lions Club paid for it. Thank God for the Lions Club. But that doesn't make you righteous, not with God. Now those are righteous deeds, but we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. Lest any man should boast. You don't have things to brag about. Well, I go to church. Thank God you go to church. The devil shows up at church every Sunday.
Come on now, yeah.
Well, he's down there at the Dew Drop Inn. He don't have to go down there. He's already got that crowd. He don't bother them. It's us he's bothering. Amen? You don't have any righteousness. We have no right to go to heaven. There's not one person in this room has a right to go to heaven. If you go by God's law, and if you go by His law, we can't even make it past the first commandment. Well, I'm keeping the commandments. You just broke one and lied. You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind all the time. And the New Testament says the law is our schoolmaster. It's to teach us that we're sinners. Not to be saved by it. It never says you can be saved by keeping of the law. The law, hey, the law's a curse on us. It'll send you to hell. So you turn to Christ away from the law because the law told you you were not righteous. And you believe on Him and put it on Him because it's His righteousness that saves you.
That day I walked down that aisle and I hugged that big old preacher's neck. And I told him, I said, preacher, I need to get saved. He said, he desires to save you. And I turned to Christ that day. And I did not know what I was doing. I thought I was going to have to quit 100 things and start 100 more. I didn't know all I had to do was fall at the feet of Jesus and he'd pour his righteousness. He'd just pour his righteousness on me because he shed his blood so I wouldn't have to go to hell. And that day I borrowed his righteousness.
Yes.
And I've been living on it ever since. Now I know you're not, you're probably a better Christian than I am, but since I've been saved, I have fallen down a bunch of times. And I've gotten up. Down but not out, Paul said. And look, since I've been saved, everything I do has not been righteous. Everything I've said has not always been righteous. Is there a Christian that would say amen to that? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only difference between me now and then is he's poured his righteousness on me, which and he made me a new creature, and now I have a desire to please him because he first loved me.
Amen.
I didn't love him one day, just jump up and say, I love Jesus, run down the aisle and say, boy, I love Jesus. Whoopee. No, sir, I run down there and said, I ought to go to hell. If anybody ought to go to hell, I ought to go to hell. If I get what I deserve, I'm going to hell, rightly so, because I am not right with God. And when I asked him to save me, he poured out his righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now when God sees me, he don't see me. He sees Jesus' finished work, his righteousness. But thank God, one day I struggled with this old flesh, and you do too, and Paul did. He said, oh boy, I was in shipwrecks, and I was in beatings, and I kept going, I kept the faith. He never said I was worthy of it. He never questioned why it happened to him. He turned around and said, but I thank God he uses all this for the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And Baptists go get a bad health checkup and says, oh, God's forsaken me. Somebody puts a bad word about us on Facebook. We say, oh no, God's left me. What am I going to do? Delete it and block it. That's not real. Big deal. Well, they don't like me down there at the job. Well, if it's because you're a Christian, you'll be shouting and praising God. That they even recognize his righteousness on you. Now, if it's because you're hypocrites, you ought to get right with God. And by the world, by the way, the world knows a hypocrite when they see one. Yeah, they know you. Yeah, they know you. But I like that verse where one day he's going to lay on me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, is going to give me. But you know what, Brother Rick? It's still not mine. That's why we sing that song. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We didn't do anything. All we did was surrender and ask him to save us. You said you had to repent. Well, what else is repentance other than turning from your sin and turning to him and getting saved? That's repentance. He's going to give us that crown. But you know what we're going to do with that, Brother Ron? People talk about running the streets of gold and shouting, doing it. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to take my righteous crown. I'm going to lay it down at his feet. And I'm going to say, Lord, I ought to be in hell right now. I ought to go to hell. And you saved me from hell. And you look, hey, you didn't just save me from past, present. You saved me from past, present, and future sins. You washed them all away.
Amen.
It's your crown, Lord. It ain't mine. We're going to lay his crown at his feet that he gave us. Paul said, Timothy, don't you quit. Don't you quit. You better not quit, Timothy. There's too much at stake. There's too much going to happen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, if you will, real quick. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now let me tell you something.
Paul said Timothy, here's how I keep going. Here's how I don't quit. Here's how I don't get discouraged. Here's how I don't end it all. I get real close to the cross. And when people say, man, you're a good Christian, I say, no, it ain't me. It's him and me.
Amen.
And when people say, boy, that's good singing for the Lord, Billy says, no, that's the Lord. That ain't me. And old hymn says, I can't bring anything to him. It's only to the cross I cling. Now, when you get ready to quit, you look at the sufferings of Paul. All those things he went through. Then you look at the suffering. I've known some Christians that have suffered. You look at some Christians you've known over the year. They may not have been perfect, and they suffered tribulation and persecution and sickness and poverty, and yet they kept on going. And most of them had a smile on their face, and they kept on going. And boy, you look at them when you start wanting to quit. And then last of all, you look to the cross of Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He poured all my shame. Ricky poured it on Jesus. God poured my shame on Jesus. Isaiah 53, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took every sin I ever committed, and that day, by the way, not just one I did, but the ones I would commit. Because you remember he said in 1 Corinthians, he hath, he doth, and he yet will deliver us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And every sin that I would ever commit from before I was saved and after I was saved was laid on Jesus' cross on that sin. On that cross. Oh, filthy, vile sin. Yours too. You said, but I'm not a Christian. Doesn't matter. He laid them on him anyway. The Bible says he laid on him the sins of the whole world, and you're in the world.
Yep.
He took your sins. That sin you committed yesterday, he poured it on him 2017 years ago. That sin you committed last year, that sin that was so terrible you don't even want to remember it, he poured it on him that day. That sin that made you ashamed of who you were, he poured it on him that day. Now, when you want to quit, you want to give up, you want to end it all, you get to look at that cross. You remember what he did. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know what he's saying? As long as I live, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, gets the glory for whatever happens. If I'm in a shipwreck, that's God.
Amen. Yep.
If I get persecuted, that's God. If all my friends forsake me, that's God.
Amen.
And then Romans 8:28, all things work together
yes.
For them. Wait a minute, to them that love God.
That's
the way it works. It does. All things don't work together for good of everybody. Only to those who love God. And I get thinking about that and I think, well, every bit of that has been because God was in my life. And he brought me through every one of them. I looked at my mama Friday, 98. She don't know she's 98. Don't tell her. She'll ask me sometimes, how old am I again? I'll say, you're 98. She says, oh, don't tell nobody. I thought I was 65. And I look at her and I think, what God brought that woman through. 9 children. 4 retarded. Drunkards. Had drunkards. Rebellious. Heartbreaking children. And he brought her through. And now people look at her, and God gets the glory for bringing her through every day.
Amen.
Listen, if you give up, if you throw in the towel,
if you end it all, God's not going to get any glory out of that.
Right.
And you will have wasted a whole life. And not only that, Paul said that he was the pastor of all those churches. What's it going to do for other people? We learned it in Sunday school in Children's Church, J-O-Y. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. You ain't living for you anymore, brother. You died that day you got saved. Old Rick died. Ron died. The old Mill Hill redneck. Thank God. And you were born again. And now it's Christ who lives in you, the hope of glory. Now when others see us, that's what they ought to see.
Amen.
Preacher, I fell down. I did too. Preacher, I lost some friends. We did. We all did. Preacher, my own family. Yeah, we know. We've been there. But preacher, my job. I've been picked over. We know. We've been there. But preacher, I can't only carry it. No, you can't carry it. You need to give it to Him. Because God's already laid it on Him. Why don't you surrender it?
Amen.
You don't have to carry it. But preacher, my heart's broken. I know. Ours has been broken. Preacher, it's tragedy. I know it's tragedy. I know it is. We've all had them. But one day, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to wake up in heaven and you're going to sing, "Worth It All."
Amen.
Worth It All. Now, if you're not saved, I hate to tell you this, but you're running by yourself. The Bible says that we were without hope in this present evil world. I used to be running by myself. I had a wife and kids that loved me, but they couldn't help me. They wasn't going to answer to God. They wasn't going. Hey, they'll try to encourage you a little bit, but only the Spirit of God can speak to your spirit. Now, they can bring you a Pepsi Cola. They bring you a cake. Somebody can bring you supper at the house while you're going through your suffering. All those are wonderful things. But nothing's going to touch your heart and soul like the Spirit of the living God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you're by yourself. But He give you an invitation.
Yes.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's stand. Father, you know the word.